Is Allie Rosen joined by
Matt Peters
and
Alex Holm.
Welcome to Animatronic Dinosaurs. Early in the morning now. We're starting late for our usual show here, considering we have a surprise for everyone that we didn't tell anybody. We are moving our time from noon to 2 to 11 to 1. So I slept in a little too late tonight. So last night, so actually today technically. So I got up a little late, missed the 11 o'clock show start, but now we're here.
Hey, we're getting used to it.
Yeah, it's 11:35. It might take a few tries, but we are going to shoot for that 11 to 1 time block. So we're going to do our best for everyone
it's
out
good
there.
Time block over lunch.
Over lunch, people
over brunch.
People can listen to us while at their brunch.
There you go.
All right, so we have some. So first off, we have a new host with us, Matt.
Yes. And we are very happy about it.
Officially part of the Animatronic Dinosaurs crew, Alex Holm.
Thank you.
Back again.
He is not in any way replacing Josh Nolan.
No, I never could.
He can't, but he is part of the team, officially. So now we have
a growing family.
There's even more testosterone in this movie talks. We'll have to get a female in here at some point. Just so that we have... Now we have a younger audience.
Bringing in the new generation.
Even though I think you and me are probably closer in birth date than Matt and I are. When's your birthday, Matt?
July.
July what?
11th.
96, 97. 97. 97. Oh, okay, never mind.
Okay.
Matt and I are less than a month apart.
I just look big.
Yeah.
Sound big.
You and me are closer to Alex than we are to Josh Nolan, though. Yeah. Josh Nolan, Mr. Already 21.
Yeah, he's an old man.
He is. Yeah. Held back a year. No, he wasn't. He went abroad. Like he is right now.
Yep.
That
man studies.
That
Josh.
Man studies too many broads. You know what I mean? Oh, wow.
That's my uncle joke. Don't off. Say that.
All right. Well, we have a lot of movies to talk to you today. None of us ended up getting to the theater. We sort of got to the theater.
Yeah.
Alex and I got to the theater to see It again, but none of us got to see.
Alex, what did you think?
I thought it was solid. I didn't love it quite as much as you did.
I'm
sitting at like a solid 16 out of 20, I think.
Okay, that's good to know.
That's good.
There's a lot of things I like. There were some things I thought it could have done better.
I acknowledge the movie's flaws.
Are you hoping for more scares, maybe?
I was hoping for more subtle scares. I thought this movie, like, subtlety was not in its vocabulary.
Oh, no, it was not.
Like, my favorite sequence of the whole movie was probably when, I'm forgetting his name, but the chubbier kid was in the library. And
Ben.
See like the librarian
creep. That was so
that was
creepy.
My favorite part. That's what I wanted. And then like the next scene, there's like a jump scare. He's running around with the clown in the basement. Like I would have preferred more just subtle, like creepy in the background type stuff.
I didn't notice the librarian turning around the first time, but when you
really?
See it the second time, you're
yeah,
like,
no, that was
oh
good
my
scene.
God.
I would have liked more of that.
We went with some friends. I was sitting next to one of our friends, Lindsay, and when that scene happened, I just started freaking out. She just looks at me and goes, "What the hell are you doing?"
I saw Girls Trip again.
You did?
I drove like half an hour to the theater. It was a good date movie.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Girls Trip, I still haven't seen it.
I'm a fan.
I feel like I need to see it. I don't know when it comes out on Blu-ray, but I'll see it when that happens. I'm trying to pull up our large review calendar thing. I think this is an okay time to go into spoilers about the movie because it's been a week now. People should have seen it by now. So we're going to give a good solid 15 minutes for It spoilers. So if you haven't seen It, I think this is early enough in our surprise early showing that people won't have tuned in. But anyways, here we go. Here's some spoilers for Stephen King's It. 15 minutes. All right. So
I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
So much happened.
I you're talking about the scene in the library. I thought that was great, but my favorite scare in it was when Pennywise comes out of the fridge.
Out of the fridge.
That's so, because you expect him to open the fridge and just like peep out, but the fridge opens and he's upside down and backwards and like wedged into it.
Yeah.
And he kind of spills out onto the floor. I don't know. I thought
my favorite scene was definitely the bathroom one with Beverly with the blood, just
oh my god,
all over.
That's
it was so well done. Just the angles that the director used, it caught every single inch of that room. It was amazing.
And I get like the nothing about it is really subtle. Like it's very very everywhere, all in your face, all at once. And I think that it both does the both like does a good oh my gosh, this thing's so being a problem right now. Okay, regardless.
Like right from the opening scene with like Pennywise, like
hiya, Georgie.
Yeah.
That was a great scene. I really like
you
that.
You know it's not gonna be too subtle.
Yeah, Pennywise
it showed
in no
the arm
way.
Getting ripped off.
Yeah. I think there might have been a little too much of a use of a reliance on CGI, which was the only like thing I could see a downside for. That I think that it relied occasionally times like when you in that opening scene there's when Pennywise bites Georgie's arm off.
That didn't look that great.
It kind of jumped into a little CGI heavy. And then when his arm comes off, it's a little. But like, I'm just more proud that they went for that because that's a really disturbing scene, having a kid get his arm bitten off by a clown in a sewer drain, and not even like a 7-year-old, not like a 15-year-old. And from reading the book, there's a lot of stuff I'm happy they left out. There's a lot of stuff I wish they'd gone to. Stephen King is really messed up with some of the stuff he writes. Like, the book, it is so much darker and screwed up than this is.
Yeah.
There's the famous child orgy scene that they left out of this.
Probably a good call.
Yeah. I thought...
Just maybe.
Listening/reading that, because I did the audiobook as well, it was 11 pages of... really uncomfortable dialogue.
Like, did it add anything to the story? Like, I feel like
no.
Like, just looking at her like they did in the movie was enough to like just show they were
well. Okay, going through adolescence. That's a part of the movie I've been struggling with is the damsel in distress situation where they put Beverly in. I thought that might not have been the best decision. That was kind of, especially in today's world, like why did they make her character the one that? The more I've watched it, the more I understand why they made it her
character.
Is that
character. From the book?
No. That's not in the book at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, that
seems... I guess it's just that everyone's attracted to her, so, like, it'll give it more weight, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, they never really... They have a love triangle in this one. Yeah. They don't have... Like, in the book, it's everyone's into Beverly. So it's a lot more complicated, especially when that last scene happens. But, yeah, I think it was... From what it seems like, that scene was there... to progress the plot forward. Like, they needed to get them into the sewers at some point.
Yeah, I have a question. Like, Georgie at the end, is that Georgie or is that just a vision of Georgie? Like,
from well,
I think that's just Pennywise trying to be Georgie to, like, mess with their heads.
Yeah. Well, then that doesn't happen in the book either.
Mm.
The book's ending's so weird. There's, like, a scene where Bill fights Pennywise in this weird other dimension and... Because, like, they don't even go into Pennywise's origins here.
This is, like, halfway through the book, though, right?
Well, it's interesting because the book's told in a very different way. I encourage everyone who's more interested in this story to go read the book because one thing that book does give you... Do not read the book unless you are very interested.
It's like 1,000 pages.
Yeah, it's 1,153 pages. Yeah. But it is... It's so detailed. Like, every street... And every little nook and cranny of Derry, Maine. And, like, I'm surprised there isn't that much Derry, Maine memorabilia. Because, like, I want a Derry, Maine shirt.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a cool town. And they do a good job bringing that out. But, like, there's so much more in it. Like, in there, in the book's told in a, like, both... It's not told where it's, like, the first part is the kids and the second part's not the kids, is the adults. It's told as the adults and kids at the same time. So the adults are recollecting their time in the past as a kid. Mm. Because you'll see, as everyone will see at the start of it, part two, all of them forget what their childhood was. None of them remember anything.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it's only when Mike Hanlon calls all of them, says, "Hey, you guys made a promise 20 years or 27 years ago. You guys need to uphold it." Then they remember their entire childhood slowly, and so that's them remembering their past. So it's really weirdly tied together. Actually, the miniseries is a little bit better job of doing it.
Yeah, the miniseries tells it like that, right?
Sort of.
Like, they're, like, in that library or place, like, contemplating what happened. And
yeah, like, that's a lot closer to what the book does.
I see.
But there's also some really messed up stuff in part two that I hope they do, because beyond that, part two's really not that scary.
You don't think it's going to be too special? It's more going to be, like, a mystery sort of...
Well, there's a lot of part two that... A lot of part two is them sitting around talking about part one.
Yeah.
So I think that also opens up liberties for Muschietti to do a bunch of new stuff.
And he's definitely coming back to direct.
I'm pretty sure he already signed on.
That's good.
I don't know if he's official yet. but I've heard somewhere that he did.
I hope they don't rush part two, though, because yeah, they really want to get it out.
It seems, I mean, that box office.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Destroyed.
Like, last week, everyone probably heard my shock at how much that movie made, but oh, my God. And I'm curious to see when stuff comes out today mm-hmm. to see what happened, because if it has legs, this is going to be really scary.
Yeah. For a rated R movie, having legs, but it's coming out at the right time. People want this. There's nothing else, really, that's good. American Assassin, really?
I heard both American Assassin and Mother did not do so
Mother
well.
Mother bombed.
Mother is, Mother! but I heard some reviews on it that were really, like,
even not, the ones that are positive reviews say that it's, like, a bad movie, but it's interesting enough to watch.
That's not good. Come on, Aronofsky. Nope, you know. We're getting a phone call. Why don't you guys talk, and I'm going to answer this.
Okay.
So, I like the subplots a lot in this.
It's
mainly the one with the bully. I thought that was handled really well, and it was, like, a bit added on, but it did have a point to it. It really progressed the story, really showed the kind of place that these kids were living in, that they weren't at the height of the totem pole. And, yeah, like, him and his father, like, him, that was, like, really fast, you know what I mean?
That did happen really fast,
like,
yeah.
Like, really fast. But that shows Pennywise just manipulating weak minds, yeah. I guess. And,
I did like a lot all the scenes with the kids walking. Whenever they walked past the TV, Pennywise was always in control of the TV early on.
Yep.
That was I really appreciated.
Kill them all. Yeah. Kill them all.
Eddie's mom was really good.
Who's?
The like protective.
Oh, mother. Eddie's mom's crazy.
She was
awesome.
A little cartoonish for
but like, she's
she
supposed,
pulling him out of the house.
She's really supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like that's supposed like she is supposed to be super over the top, which is why that character works. Like, because, I mean, she is, like, the pinnacle of terrible parenting, which is a lot of what this movie talks about.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
I'll give it that.
Because, like, you get Beverly's father, who's totally different end of bad parent.
Yeah.
With, like, kind of rapey vibes.
Kind of.
I think very rapey vibes.
He doesn't actually rape her like he tries to in the book. But
he's a bad parent.
He's a real, I mean, and I think he... Well, he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many times... So, Henry Bowers, he dies in this, or at least we think he does.
Yep.
And he comes back, and he's a very important part of what makes Part 2 so scary.
Mm.
And I'm kind of weirded out that, like, they really kill him off.
There's, like, a possibility that he's just...
He hits his head on the well on the way down.
Yeah, he seems...
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of the dad. Never mind.
That was
the bully. Yeah, the bully's dead.
He's very dead, but he comes back in, like, full force in the second one.
Okay.
Because in the book, he's blamed for the... He ends up taking the fall for all the kids' murders.
Oh, okay.
Do the people who are floating, do they come down?
They're never in the book. No. That's always just a metaphor for death.
That was just the You'll Float Too thing.
Yeah, that was a random twist in the movie. I kind of liked it.
It looked cool.
Yeah.
The show was a little weird, like when Pennywise was dancing on the stage.
That's so cool.
It reminded me of
he was like synced up to his head.
It reminded me of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Johnny Depp. I mean, a lot better, but like same vibes.
I just like, why would I... You heard Skarsgård talk about this, but what Skarsgård says about his like performance as Pennywise is he tries to do the last thing you'd expect, and I thought that was everything about his character. Like when you see that open, you're thinking it's going to be subtle, and it's not at all. It's him like very violently dancing.
Yep.
Or like then this the fridge, he ends up upside down when you're like, oh, he's just going to slowly creep out of it. Or like... him on like they in the scene with all the dolls that Rich when Richie sees them in that one room in the house on Newbold Street.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, that's definitely Pennywise at the piano, and then he shoots out of the coffin. You're like, whoa, like you just don't you never expect what he's gonna do.
Yeah,
except for maybe the, I mean, it's still awesome, but the clicker scene, the projector, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So that's a very jump scary scene though.
Yeah, that was still a little over the top. Like I would have totally been fine with like just the subtle reveal of him like with the mom. Like when you see the mom turn into him and then like the end of the scene right there, I would have been fine with that. It was fun like him running out of the projector, but that was still part of like one of the scenes that comes to mind that's over the top.
That was like my favorite scare.
Well, I just thought that was like you expect him to just pop up on the projector, but he like shoots out of the projector and then rolls around the room.
4D.
Yeah.
I didn't know all the Skarsgårds were related until after.
Stellan and...
There's so many. Stellan, Bill...
Alexander.
Yeah. And their father, like... It's nuts.
Yeah. They're all...
Very talented.
All great. There's Tarzan. There's Thor's friend. And now there's Pennywise. Bill is Pennywise. Oh, he's so creepy.
Definitely.
Where are you going?
His voice was...
You seem like a nice kid.
Man.
He's like, he does. Okay, I know a lot of people don't agree with this, but I was not a big Tim Curry fan from the original.
No,
I really,
it's cartoonish.
Yeah, I don't like the miniseries. I think the miniseries does not do the book
justice.
Tim
Curry's amazing, but
it's a great actor, but he's not. His Pennywise was so much funnier than.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Like Skarsgård really did the character
justice.
He was like
winking to the camera, Tim Curry. You know what I mean? Like that's what he does, because he's a theater actor, so he wants to play with the audience. Skarsgård's not doing that.
Skarsgård's very like
he's in it.
Yeah, he's like
in like Heath Ledger Joker mind.
Yeah,
set, you know what I mean. Like fully immersed.
Fool, from what I heard on set, he was never like that. He'd be like doing the Pennywise scene, and then he'd just like go talk to the kids and be like, "Hey, was that good?" Like, which I mean, imagine a giant clown just coming up and be like, "Oh yeah, like how'd I do?"
And he's a creepy looking guy to begin with.
Yeah,
that's very true.
I like Bill. Bill is good, and the kids. Oh, I loved the kids.
Oh, for sure.
The guy who plays Bill Denbrough, Jaden Lieberher, he surprised the heck out of me.
He's going to be like the next Joseph Gordon-Levitt or something.
Totally. Oh, did you hear that's who... No, he wants... Who does he want to play him? One of them wants Joseph Gordon-Levitt to play him.
Oh, yeah, I saw the list.
Dude, Bill Hader as Richie.
That works.
That, like... Totally works. If Bill can do like what he did in
They're
Skeleton
not get
Twins,
that whole cast, but definitely either Jessica Chastain or Bryce Dallas Howard.
Jessica Chastain's already been talked to about it.
I mean, who? Like, think about it. It's too easy.
Well, yeah, I think like originally that was like their pick.
They want like Chris Pratt and like Chadwick Boseman. They're like
Chadwick Boseman makes sense.
They
want
all the A+ actors.
Of course they do. They're
and,
kids.
Like, they're not gonna afford.
No, there's no way they're gonna try. I'm
like,
sure
for
they'll
every
get
Jessica Chastain and like Chadwick Boseman. They're gonna get a no name guy.
Well, nothing against like the lesser known kids, but like there is three stellar acting performances in that, and that were for the other kids, and that was Jaden and Finn and Lily, Sophia.
Yeah.
Those three were the best by far, and the guy who plays Eddie, Jack. Like, those four, I think, maybe like the other ones were good and they were really
none
good.
None of them were like noticeably bad or anything, like most child actors are.
But like those four in particular were like the standout roles, and they'll probably, if they're gonna spend money on A-listers, it'd be for those kids.
Yeah,
I'm just loving the prospect of A-list actors being in horror movies. Yeah, but that's not a thing.
This is like a different...
You don't hear Jessica Chastain brought up when you're talking about a horror movie.
Hey, Toby will do it for free, I think.
So pushing Toby.
I think that's not going to happen.
Of course
I've been
Toby's
reading
not
lists, and he's not on any list, and I'm very sad about
it. I kind of wanted to go on the Reddit page and be like, Toby Maguire for Bill Denbrough.
Yeah, right? Start a petition, but no.
No, sorry, no one would pick Toby. All right, let's call it there. So that was our discussion in spoileriness of Stephen King's It. We'll probably be getting our usual listeners in about like 7 minutes. So let's dig into these fall movies, because we have a lot to go for.
We do.
Here's my fall list. Oh, I can use the big list if I can ever get this thing sorted correctly. Oh my god.
Well, I guess it's fall now, right?
It is
or
fall
like
now.
The 21st
so
is the first day of fall, which means
I
next
mean,
week is
I
fall.
Still okay. Consider, I mean, I think we are... I think we are in the fall time.
Apples are tasting good.
Yeah. That's
so it's fall.
Yes.
All right. Release date. We'll go.
When Lower has good apples.
Mm.
And not just crap.
That's when it's good.
All right. So now I have the lists and everything up and ready to go. All right. So in the first week of September, we've already hit that. We had It, which... We were pretty
minor hit, you know.
Yeah, not big. So and Alex, you ended up giving it a 16.
Yep.
So it sits at a 19 right now overall across all of us. We'll wait to hear back from Mr. Nolan about this. Also coming out against It in the same week was Home Again.
Yeah.
Not sure if any of us will be seeing that.
Probably not.
One of us hopefully will, because we'll try to cover as much as we can.
I'm not a big Reese Witherspoon person.
I have no interest in that movie.
I haven't liked her since Walk the Line.
One of us will have to take the fall and actually see it. All right. And now this past weekend we have Mother.
Yeah. Good cast. Crazy, crazy ending, I hear.
Aronofsky and his, all of his Aronofsky-ness.
I like Aronofsky because of The Wrestler. That's like one of my favorites, but that was very practical. This just looks like he's playing with stuff.
We had American Assassin.
Which I would have liked to see if I had, like, free time.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? The trailers look fun.
That seems fine. Like a very Matt Peters movie.
Yeah, right?
Like, when I saw the trailers for The Accountant last year, I'm like, Matt would like this. Yeah. Like it's
except Taylor Keach.
Taylor Keach. That guy
needs to retire.
That's so sad. Oh, wow. This is the hard part about keeping this up is that, like, movies just kind of disappear off this. Like, I had All I See Is You on here, but I guess that is now no longer being released. So, that's gone. And then in Limited, I just being released in Los Angeles this week, was a movie called Brad Status, which looks really interesting, and I definitely want to see it. It's the one with Ben Stiller, and he's like an old dad taking his prodigal son to like college, to check out all these colleges, and his son's super smart, and is like, I got this, Dad, and Dad's just like, what did I do with my life? It looks really good. I really like it. I'm a big fan of that time period in people's lives. I think that's a time that people rarely touch on in movies. All right, we got to start getting through these ones.
Yeah.
Next weekend, we have...
It's a big weekend next weekend.
Oh, boy. Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Woohoo!
Friend Request. That movie's been sitting on the shelves for
it's
a while.
Pretty bad.
The Lego Ninjago movie. I'm interested in that.
That hasn't been getting too many, like... commercials, I don't think.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be making a giant push for that.
Yeah.
Then again,
I wonder how it'll do. Because it is Lego, but, like, I don't know what a Ninjago is.
Yeah, but all the kids know Ninjagos.
Apparently.
Was that around when we were little?
No.
Yeah.
That came out right after we stopped. Well, right after I stopped playing Legos.
Which was yesterday.
Now's the age of, like, 15.
There you go.
But I like no. It's like got it was like when Lego started pushing itself into its IPs. Like it's a weird new IPs. If you think about the name, it's Ninja plus Go.
Ninja Go.
Ninja Go. Which is pretty. Come on, Lego. Like,
yeah.
But it's better than. I've also worked at a kid's Lego summer camp, so I knew all of this stuff from that. But in the limited releases, Battle of the Sexes comes out.
Yeah, this doesn't really appeal to me. It looks like a feel good, you know. I mean, great actors. Emma
I've
Stone,
heard Oscar buzz for it, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be surprised.
And then a straight to video sequel to another straight to video horror movie that I was a fan of back in like 2014, I think, called The House is October Built 2.
Oh yeah.
So I've seen The House is October Built 1. Really awesome concept. It's about this group of people who go around checking out these crazy haunted houses, and they go to one that takes it a little too far, and they get abducted. It's all shaky cam stuff, but it's just kind of a cool concept.
There's another film called Stronger with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've where seen he plays a victim of the Boston Marathon bombing.
I will definitely add that in.
It's the actor. It's the person who like does the marathon and
yeah.
has to train up. His performance is supposed to be amazing.
Oh, good.
And I'm always excited for a Jake Gyllenhaal film.
We love us some Jake.
Yeah.
He gives it his all.
Every time.
He's one of the best.
All right, rounding out the end of September, we have Flatliners. Yeah.
I can't sure. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, like, that's going to be cool, I guess.
It's like a weird cast.
Yeah.
No one really sticks out too much. Is Ellen Page still good?
I think Ellen Page is still good. When did Ellen Page get bad?
It's like, it's been a while since Inception.
It's still Ellen Page. Like, she did like a video game, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, Willem Dafoe. That was a long time
ago. Willem Dafoe's still good.
Oh, yeah, he's
good. And we have Diego Luna in this, too.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, and we have the guy from the original Flatliners, who the guy goes, and what was the movie that I'm trying to think of? Invasion of the Body Snatchers guy.
Okay.
I'm so bad for forgetting this guy's name. Like, a very famous actor. I think that's a sequel. That looks bad. American Made, that's the one with...
That's actually getting good reviews.
Another Matt Petersy movie.
I like Tom Cruise and true stories about Americans getting rich.
And yeah.
Getting in trouble for getting rich.
And that seems interesting.
Matt Peters movie.
There are definitely some Matt Peters movies. They always come around in the September, October range.
I love the fall. It's my favorite. When I was a kid, I used to love summer because of like Spider-Man and Dark Knight, but now it's fall time.
There's another movie that I haven't even seen a trailer for called Till Death Do Us Part. I believe it's one of those... Remember When the Bow Breaks from last year? I thought Unforgettable was doing that for us this year, but looks like we have another fall kind of Hallmarky or a kind of Fatal Attraction style movie. Looks like
just what we need.
It does not star Morris Chestnut though.
That's disappointing.
Now I have no interest in seeing it. I wanted Morris. Some Morris Chestnut
for sure.
Michael and Madison Rowland had planned to spend the rest of their lives together until one day Michael's controlling ways turned their perfect marriage with the help of her best friend. Oh boy. The help of her best friend, Madison decides to get away. After adopting a new identity, she meets Alex Stone and learns to love again. All is well until Michael discovers Madison's whereabouts and recreates the nightmare she once lived all over again. Oh boy, do I have no interest in seeing this movie.
That was a lot.
Yeah. It's got Taye Diggs.
Oh.
Was Taye Diggs in...
That doesn't change anything.
Was he in the... Oh boy, he's in another movie that we're going to talk about. I believe that comes out the same weekend. No, it comes out the following weekend. All right, so that's September. Mm-hmm. Now moving into October. This first weekend in October, you two are going to have the pleasure of seeing a much better movie than I will. But I'll still be somewhat happy to see this masterpiece. So first up is Blade Runner 2049. Ooh. I know Alex is I'm very excited.
You're a big fan of the original, Alex?
Yeah, but also Denis Villeneuve is just one of the best directors at it right now. I haven't seen a bad movie from him.
Have you seen Enemy?
I'd say Sicario.
I love Enemy.
Enemy's very, very good.
Sicario I wasn't that good. Movies. I know it's a really controversial thing to say, Sicario. But like,
Sicario is one of my favorite movies.
For that scene at the table where he confronts the guy with his family, yeah. Like that scene alone makes the movie awesome for me.
The scene of them driving into Mexico, yeah.
It's just so
I really like that. I just thought the sound mixing was so off on it that I didn't know what was going on. This is the same. It was the Dunkirk effect. The sound mixing is so bad that you just I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's one of the best directors out there, for sure.
Yes, he is. I love... He did Prisoners, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, that movie was brutal.
He just shows intensity so well.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, I loved Arrival. Arrival's one of my favorite movies in a while.
You think the trailer looks good, Alex?
I've been avoiding trailers. One trailer, and I actually wasn't crazy about it.
Yeah, for me, it like just looks like he's using a lot of like fog and lighting. And...
Yeah, but I also... He's been... with a lot of his other movies, he's been very subtle with his trailers, not showing too much. So,
Well, we have... So you guys will be heading out to theater to see that.
Why aren't you seeing that?
I'll be seeing the My Little Pony movie.
Oh. Why?
Because I am so interested about how this movie got made. I'm in no way a brony, but I'm just curious. Like,
okay.
This just interests me that they're making a My Little Pony movie and it's getting a theater release. None of the Barbie movies got theater releases. None of the Pokemon movies got theater... One Pokemon movie got a theater release. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is in theaters for, like, a week. How is this being, like... And this is this cast? Like, I'm more than anything just really interested about what is going on with the My Little Pony movie.
Bruh. Over Blade Runner?
Over... Yeah. I know I'm going to see Blade Runner at some point. But that weekend, I think it'd be more interesting for us to get a wider breadth of movies. And I'm, like... Emily Blunt, Kristen Chenoweth, Liev Schreiber, Michael Pena, Sia, like Taye Diggs.
These are all in the My Little Pony movie.
Yes, Zoe Saldana is in the My Little Pony movie. How did they get that cast?
They got to get paid more.
They had a crazy good casting director, apparently.
I guess.
I'm just so like, what if this movie's great? Say what you want, but imagine a world where this movie's amazing.
I mean, I doubted the Lego movie before it came out.
And everyone doubted the Emoji movie, different. And guess what? It sucked.
I mean, ponies are cool and all, but...
I don't see this movie being good, but I'm interested to watch a terrible movie again. It's interesting, and I know I'm going to see Blade Runner at some point.
It'll be hilariosity, you think?
But we do, in the mind of seeing multiple movies at once, I'm entirely okay with taking the fall on that one.
Okay.
Also coming out that weekend, The Mountain Between Us. This, I believe, was rated the single worst trailer of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I gotta look it up.
I don't like the trailer personally. It shows so much. And, like, to the point where it shows...
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of a different movie. But yes, this trailer does show way too much.
It shows Kate Winslet falling into ice. And I'm like, what? Like, that should be the climax of, like... Because if they're out in the wilderness alone, just the two of them, and someone falls into ice, there's a good chance they're probably going to die. Because then, even if they get out, they're going to be soaked. So...
Yeah. I have, like, no interest in this movie whatsoever.
I mean, Idris and Kate Winslet are amazing, but no.
This
looks like a generic, like...
Yeah.
They're going to get
saved. Was this originally a book?
It might be.
Because if it wasn't originally a book, then you know what? This is a pretty interesting original concept, and I'm all about interesting original concepts.
It's like Everest last year.
But Everest, based on a novel of the same name.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So
it was.
It's not an independent property. No one was taking a risk. Great. Great. Good job, Hollywood. All right. Well, let's move on from that
There's one more this weekend.
Which is?
Or at least October 5th, the Florida Project.
Ooh, what's that one?
I am so, so excited about it. It's the same team, like production team that did Moonlight. The director, Sean Baker, super underrated. If you've ever seen any of his films, they are amazing. I've only seen Tangerine. I someday should go and watch some of his other films because it's amazing. Stars Willem Dafoe.
Whoa.
Sitting at a 97 on Rotten Tomato right now.
A24 movie.
Yeah.
I love A24.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. Did really well at festivals this summer.
Oh, I saw the trailer for this.
Yeah.
This looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to get to this. Hopefully it'll be released around here.
I'm not
sure it will.
That might be a hard one to get to. But there's a art house one somewhere near here.
Yeah, there is. Like 25 minutes away, they show like obscene movies I've never even heard of.
All right. Well, let's move to the next weekend because we got some interesting ones that we're going to have to spread out between the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Death Day. I think I'll be taking this one.
You can have it.
Horror. this does look cool, though. It's like Groundhog's Day if it was a horror movie.
Yeah.
Is that that's the one where she keeps waking up on her birthday? And
She's in like the college dorm.
That looks kind of cool. I think it's going to be interesting. We have potential. Marshall. I think Matt Peters might be interested in that movie.
Will I?
It's I believe it's this Chadwick Boseman, I believe.
Oh yes. I love when Chadwick Boseman stars in biopics of like famous people.
Biopics.
Yeah, biopics. Whatever. But yeah, he plays the famous Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah.
And I was a huge fan of 42, and then I saw him play James Brown, and he killed it as him as well. So this will be one I will surely rush to the theaters to see.
Okay,
I could take Marshall.
You'll take Marshall, and that leaves The Foreigner, which is the Jackie Chan English language action thriller.
Okay,
it looks cool. I saw the trailer for it. It seemed like pretty interesting. Unless you've already seen it from your escapades in China.
No, I
okay,
not, but
director's Martin Campbell. That name sounds really familiar. It's the guy who did the... Oh, boy. Okay, no. That's the director of Casino Royale.
Okay.
What I didn't realize is the director of Casino Royale also directed the famous Green Lantern.
Oh. Okay.
The infamous.
But, I mean, this guy's got a pretty good...
He's got some good movies.
Yes, so...
I'd be happy to check that out.
Yeah, that's a pretty...
I think the same weekend, Goodbye Christopher Robin will probably
be released. That's interesting.
Which, for me, I'm a big Winnie the Pooh fan, but this is just about the author and, like, people loving the stories, and it's all very proper British.
That's like Paddington.
Yeah, it looks like that. But, like, the cast is stacked. Margot Robbie and Domhnall Gleeson. Like, those are...
Donal. Domhnall. Donimall.
He's been in enough great things that people should say Domhnall.
All right. Next weekend is the 20th.
There's one more in that weekend,
too. Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Alex and his art house films.
I know this is another artsy-fartsy movie. I feel like I'm going to mispronounce it. The Meyerowitz Stories.
What?
Starring, you'll never believe it, Ben Stiller and Adam Sandler.
What?
You never believe this movie's going to be doing well.
Oh, wait. That's the one that Adam Sandler got a standing ovation for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam I heard he back. Might get nominated.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm like, hearing.
Adam Sandler Oscar performance.
Like it's like Punch Drunk Love again.
Exactly.
That's all. I would love really being this. Adam Sandler an Oscar nom.
He sold his soul before.
No, he's still got room.
Apparently.
That'll piss me off so hard. If he went like 10 years of making horrible movies
and then just goes like that, and it's like it's wow. Like,
yeah.
That'll be insane.
I love Adam Sandler. I love Dadam Sandler when he's a dad and he's not depressing.
making fart jokes.
Talking like dish. Maybe he could have played Pennywise. All right. The week of the 20th, we have a bunch of stuff. A few that I will probably want to go see at least. Geostorm.
The greatest movie of the year.
Geostorm has the single greatest plot I've ever heard in a movie. They control the entire world's weather using one giant satellite, and then the satellite breaks, and the whole world goes to crap.
Oh my god.
This trailer looks so bad. It looks like a TV sci-fi movie.
Oh my god, it looks amazing.
Like...
It's so... That trailer looked so bad. It's got, Who's the guy? Not
Gerard Butler, Andy Garcia.
When Gerard Butler's in a... Sorry, buddy. But when Gerard Butler's in a movie, you know it's not good. Gerard Butler starring in the great Gods of Egypt from last year, which I did see, and it was bad.
He keeps getting leading man roles.
In terrible movies.
I don't even think it's his fault, but, like...
Oh, my God.
He's just the guy that bad scripts get.
The poor Gerard Butler. And he's very much not as good as Russell Crowe, who I love me some Russell Crowe.
He's like young Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, the only good part about The Mummy.
Yeah.
Which is sad to say when I was about to say Harrison Ford. When
Tom Cruise.
When Tom Cruise is in the movie. You're a young man. No, he's not. He's older than you. So there's a movie called A War with Grandpa. I know nothing about, so we'll have to look this up.
Also that week, The Snowman comes out. A mystery.
That looks so cool.
I'm really excited about that, actually.
Michael Fassbender.
Never mind. War with Grandpa has been pushed to 2018, so I can take that off my list.
But yeah, Michael Fassbender, like Jake Gyllenhaal, just probably his name the best. Attached to something.
I think Fassbender's the best actor right now.
Ooh,
so intense.
That's a big claim.
You know what I just saw yesterday? Have you seen the movie Hunger?
No.
Oh my god. That's Michael Fassbender as an IRA prisoner in like the 80s and 70s. Jeez. In a British prison. That's one of the best.
Have you seen Jobs?
No.
Knocks it out of the park in that.
I need to see
Steve Jobs. Jobs is the one with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, Steve Jobs. Oh man.
Whichever the one is with Michael
Fassbender. The good one.
Have you seen Assassin's Creed?
No.
He's not good in that. He's not in any way good in that.
Okay. But yeah, I can make an argument for Fassbender being the best. He's definitely top three.
I mean, if we're talking, the new X-Men people, I would put.
You like James McAvoy over him?
Because of what he did in Split.
Sure.
Like Split, that's one of the best performances by an actor I've seen in a very long time. Mm. Yeah, he's crazy in Split.
Yeah,
that's true.
But yeah, Snowman's definitely one I want to see.
Same kind of different as me. This is the one I was thinking of with the worst trailer ever. Like, it's like just weirdly they're just like this really bad trailer with a really weird cast that doesn't make any sense. Jimin Hunsu, John Voight, Renee Zellweger, Greg Kinnear. Like, that's a pretty good cast. And the trailer, I saw the trailer once. It's bad. But it was seriously considered. If you, like, go to it's the same kind of different as me's. This was supposed to come out, like, in last year. Not last year, in February. And if you go to its Wikipedia page near the bottom, I guess they took it off the Wikipedia page. But there was one thing I was reading the books part. See, critical response. The film's trailer is described by the Guardian journalist Stuart Heritage as the worst, most offensive thing I have ever seen. That's a lot to say about a trailer.
Yeah.
The worst, most offensive thing I have ever seen. I won't say after watching the trailer it's that, but it's bad. It's a really bad trailer.
Same week, only The Brave come out.
Yeah.
The Miles Teller, Josh Brolin movie of them fighting the wildfires in California.
That'll be cool. I like I don't like Miles Teller as much as a person, but he's a good actor.
He's great at playing douchebags.
Yeah.
He is that actor.
He's so good in the War Dogs.
Yeah.
Really good in War Dogs. And then rounding out that weekend, we might make Alex see this just to mess with him. So he has to see a bad movie and we stretch these out.
True.
Because now you are part of Animatronic Dinosaurs, which means sometimes...
I gotta watch some bad stuff.
Like Matt and I, you have to fall on the sword and see The Nut Job 2.
Oh,
or
no.
Emoji Movie.
Not Nut Job.
Not Nut Job 2.
Emoji Movie was painful. But Madea 2.
Oh,
boo.
No.
Boo a Madea Halloween 2. Don't even see the first one. Just see this one.
It might have, like, some funny
No,
things.
There's no way.
I only saw one Madea movie, and I was just so caught off guard. I saw it when I was, like, 10 years old. I thought it was going to be, like, Big Mama's House.
Nope.
But, like, there's, like, a scene of comedy, and then it goes into, like, very dramatic, just basic drama. So...
Hello?
I didn't really like it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
I feel like I already know what's going to happen in this movie.
Tyler Perry, though. He's a businessman.
Hi, Errol.
He is.
Give me a sec. Do you want to be on?
Oh, snap. We got a call.
Oh, we got a call.
From someone who listens to the show.
A friend of Allie and I's.
This is a...
So we have someone calling in. We have a caller. one, Errol Koenig from...
different Errol. Never mind.
From... Where are you at, Errol? He goes to Johns Hopkins. He's been wanting to be on the show for a while now. So
I can't hear him.
I know. I'm gonna move. I have to put the phone on.
Great.
All right, you ready, Errol? All right, Errol. Can you hear us at all? I have no idea how to get the phone to work. Can you hear us at all, Errol? Oh,
Errol.
Now, is that better?
I can hear you guys.
Awesome. There we go.
Put it up a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Talk again, Errol.
Okay, so I was listening to your show. Allie's a good friend of mine from last summer. And you guys were slandering the Emoji Movie.
Yeah, because the Emoji Movie... Errol, none of these guys have seen the Emoji Movie. You and me both have, and that movie's bad.
Are you really getting mad at Emoji Movie slandering?
I am getting very mad. If you're going to talk about it on the radio, you better be able to back up your...
Oh, I can totally back it up. That movie had terrible cast. It was entirely set... just to create product placement for things that don't even work on a phone. Just Dance is not on a phone, Errol.
Not yet. Actually, it is. I downloaded it in middle school. It wasn't very good, but it's on the phone.
It's so downloaded in middle school. But that's the thing, though, is you forgot about it. Now its whole point is to sell that.
That being said, the movie is entirely made as a product placement, which I find a beautiful thing. Consumerism is alive and well, and I am very happy it exists. Also, the cast is amazing. You have United Sir Patrick Stewart as the emoji.
He has four lines in the whole movie.
You capitalist scum. Product placement does not make a movie.
In a film.
Errol, we have a very short amount of time here. I actually want to bring you in and have this discussion further. So we'll
definitely come back a later week if you'll have me.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much, Errol.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for the call. I can hardly hear him, though.
Yeah. Well, they need to figure... I want to actually bring Errol in studio and talk to him, because he's got an insight beyond all of us.
Okay.
But is he serious about Emoji Movie?
He is serious about Emoji Movie. And I love having very intense conversations with him about it, because...
Okay.
Because we have very differing viewpoints on it. And I went into the Emoji Movie knowing Errol's position on it, and I was like, oh, maybe he's right. Maybe this is going to be good. And it wasn't. It wasn't good.
I mean, he's in the minority with that.
Yeah, well, he shares the same similar viewpoint to Dan Merle, who thought it was just serviceable. I mean, Errol likes it more than Dan Merle did.
Hmm.
But regardless, that's a discussion for Errol and I to have when we get him on here.
I'll hear him out.
It'll be fun. I'm excited to have it.
Just one opinion.
Sure. See, when you said Errol, I thought you meant
Errol Flynn. Errol Flynn, the other Errol.
It's like, what's Errol doing calling?
Yeah. All right, well, we got to get through these stories, because there's a lot, and we're only halfway through October. Poor Alex didn't have to see Madea 2. Madea Boo, Madea Halloween 2. There's even more of
there
them.
There you go.
Wow.
So we have the following week we have Suburbicon, which seems kind of interesting. That's what's the guy's name? I'm totally forgetting. He's from the Jason Bourne.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon. Matt Damon. I did know,
forget Matt Damon's
I
name.
I did forget. Because he plays a really weird character in this. He's like fat.
Oh, I do different. Remember seeing the trailer.
He looks like
this.
The informant guy.
Yeah, he doesn't look. He doesn't look normal. Wait.
Oh man, is this Matt Damon starring in a movie where they shrink people down to 5 inches?
That's different. That we're gonna talk about that later.
We have to talk about that because my mind was blown when my buddy brought that up to me.
No, this is one where he like fights something or other. I don't know.
And George Clooney's the director. Is this his first
movie? No, Clooney directed other things.
Okay.
I don't think it went too well, honestly.
Yeah, it's not doing so good on the tomato meter. All right, Damn. Then we have, I believe this is Thank You for Your Service. I forget what it is.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. Another Miles Teller movie.
Oh, yeah, I saw the trailer. I was a little skeptical because like half of it is like glorifying soldiers and half of it is like showing their struggle. So I think it might be like a realistic portrayal. And then ultimately end on like a happy note.
It's a very
it looks like American Sniper when he comes back home. Like because a lot of it's him at home and then having flashbacks to when he's in war. So I mean, it could be good. We'll see.
And then the last movie this week that I'm really not looking forward to, I mean that's probably surprising, is Jigsaw. I hate the Saw franchise.
Was this supposed to go straight to DVD? It's
no, you're thinking of Texas Chainsaw, which I have read and is not good. But Jigsaw is the 8th movie in the Saw franchise.
You don't like any of the Saws?
I like the first one, and that's it.
Because it has charm.
But then they go off the rails, and this looks... And I was like, oh, they're bringing Saw back. Maybe they'll return to its roots and stay away from all the gore and ridiculousness. Nope. Yeah. Nah, it's right back there. So... Maybe I might wait for this to be released just to do it. Like, I don't really want to spend money on this. I really do. I want this franchise to die for good. I hope this movie makes no money and that it blows it out of the water in its 8th weekend. But regardless, I don't want Jigsaw to do well. I want this franchise to get buried and go away for good.
It might do that.
I hope so. I hope it doesn't make any money.
It's coming out around Halloween.
And there's nothing up against it.
Unless it just holds for 6 weeks.
Which it could.
It totally could. I'm sure it'll be in the top 5 still in that weekend, but I think that Jigsaw will probably beat it. But Jigsaw has no legs because we're talking about the following weekend. We have Thor Ragnarok.
And this is when it starts getting interesting.
Yeah, November is going to be crazy.
I'm telling you, man. Fall is better than summer. Like, I don't get why they do that.
This summer was kind of weak, honestly.
It was weak.
Compared to the spring and fall.
No, fall is way better. But, like, yeah, Thor looks fun.
Actually, just to like, throw out there to Errol, how did you get the phone number? I never sent the phone number out. Props to you, man.
Dedication.
That is dedication. Thank you to all of our listeners.
Yes.
But Thor Ragnarok, very excited for this movie. It's going to be an event movie of the fall, or at least for a week or two.
For 2 weeks, and then something bigger is going to come.
There's also, let's do the other ones. Killing the Sacred Deer. I have no idea what this movie is. This is like, we should have done a little bit more research on these beforehand.
I don't know what that is. Also that week, A Bad Mom's Christmas is coming out.
God, I will not. I'll let one of you guys go see that one.
I didn't see the first one. Did you, Alex?
Yeah, I did.
A long time ago.
I mean, I saw the first one. Oh, great. Am I going to have to go see Bad Mom's Christmas then?
You got character development.
Yeah, I mean, this is way too early for a sequel to come out. It felt like I just saw it.
It was last summer.
Yeah.
Also that week, November 3rd, LBJ is coming out. But I was surprised to see that this is Woody Harrelson
as LBJ. LBJ.
Because I saw on Broadway Bryan Cranston play LBJ, and he killed it. So I thought, oh, this is just going to be Bryan Cranston.
Do you like Woody?
I love Woody. So, I mean, it should be good, but it's going to be odd to see because I already saw Cranston kill it. So.
All right, so I brought up some stuff about the killing of a sacred deer. It's Steven, a charismatic surgeon, is forced to make an unthinkable sacrifice after his life starts to fall apart when the behavior of a teenage boy he has taken under his wing turns sinister. That seems interesting. It's got Colin Farrell, Alicia Silverstone, Nicole Kidman. So, and Colin Farrell in the lead, Steven. I mean, Colin Farrell is always good.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell is a charismatic surgeon. Sure. I'll take it. Same weekend is Roman Emmanuel, I believe. Oh, no. Roman J. Israel, Esquire. Which, Dan Gilroy. starring Denzel and Colin Farrell.
Very nice.
So this is Denzel Washington stars as Roman Israel, a driven, idealistic defense attorney who, through a tumultuous series of events, finds himself in a crisis that leads to extreme action. They love using the words extreme and crisis. But Denzel, always great.
Yep.
Dan Gilroy, the writer of Nightcrawler and Kong Skull Island, The Bourne Legacy, and Real Steel. I saw Real Steel over the summer. I liked it.
I saw when it came out, and it was fine.
So he's. This is, I believe, his first. Oh no! He also directed Nightcrawler.
Ooh,
that's exciting.
Nightcrawler is one of my favorites. So yeah, like 5 years. Legit though.
I can't believe Nightcrawler is this guy's directorial debut.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it didn't get any Oscar buzz when it deserved so much of it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know this guy. And,
yeah. Well, I mean, this guy was a big writer before Nightcrawler, but not like that good of night as Nightcrawler.
Real Steel.
Yeah. Like, he wrote all the other things. What the?
And then are we on to November 10th?
We got one more that weekend.
What's that? What's the last one that weekend?
Last Flag Flying.
Okay.
Same director as Boyhood. Starring
Richard Linklater?
Yep. Starring Steve Carell, Bryan Cranston, Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, really? I did see the trailer for this. This looks really cool.
I'm so excited for this.
I never skip a Linklater movie.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Boyhood was very important, at least to me, in terms of college.
Everybody Wants Some. Did you see that?
Mm-mm. Come a little closer now. Closer.
It was like the
spiritual.
The sequel to
Days Confused.
And it was so good. It was just like 1 week of like baseball camp.
It was the freshman year. Like that first week of freshman year.
It was before even classes started, though.
And true Linklater fashion, nothing happens.
But it's so fun to watch.
Yeah, they're always fun to watch. This is why he's such a good. I mean, I love that train of thought of like, who really cares?
He's a realist.
Yeah.
Yep.
So November 10th, we have Daddy's Home 2.
Yay! Actually, it looks funny.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to support anything that has Mel Gibson in it because he's a bad man and doesn't deserve to be in the movies anymore.
He makes good films.
No, he does not.
He does.
I've never seen Highlander, and I probably won't ever see Highlander. And I'm
You didn't see.
I saw Hacksaw Ridge, and it was bad.
It was not bad.
Hacksaw Ridge did not deserve to be in any of those Oscar contentions, and it still won.
Opinion. It was good.
It was not.
It was so
good. It had a great third act.
I feel like your hatred for Mel Gibson is blinding artistic.
I went into that with an entirely with a very small amount of bias.
I'm not saying anything about Mel Gibson as a person, but like I like him in Braveheart. I like him in The Patriot. Like,
dude, what did I say other than Braveheart? Highlander. He's not in Highlander, is he?
I don't think so.
Braveheart, sorry.
I liked him in Braveheart.
Yeah.
Directed, starring, and like, I like Lethal Weapon 1 and 2, not the sequels because they suck, but like, he's a charismatic guy on screen, and he has a lot of, I mean, he's an alcoholic.
Everyone praised Hacksaw Ridge, and I watched it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this last one on the Oscar train, and it wasn't even close to the other Oscar movies. Like, how is that? That shouldn't even be in the same.
The action was good. It was very brutal.
Those first two acts were so bad. They're so worthless. And
Andrew Garfield's performance in that, I could see why you would think.
Yeah,
it
wasn't good.
I liked it.
Especially when you put him up against what he did in Silence, which is so good.
And that got no praise.
Which is sad.
It was 3 hours long.
And so is Goodfellas and The Departed.
Yeah, but.
And The Aviator.
It's not all just about, like,
religion. Right. Regardless, speaking of religion, we have. The Star, which is the tale of the birth of Jesus from the perspective of a bunch of camels and donkeys.
What?
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's animated. It's like the
it's animated.
It's like the camels that brought the three wise men to baby Jesus. I don't know what
they're just
why
thirsty the whole time.
One of us should see this movie just to see why. What is it?
How this was
Remember that movie at the start of last year called like The Wild Side? You were gone.
Yeah.
So this movie near the start of the fall last year is called The Wild Side. It had no praise, just weird animation. No one ever heard of it.
I see.
So here's another one that just it's like weird CGI animation where it's like it's not Disney, it's not DreamWorks. You can just kind of tell it's just kind of strange. All right, but regardless, there's one bigger movie that's coming out that weekend, and that is Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, I'm not excited for this, personally. I think it just looks way too overdone for me.
You're not a fan of Kenneth Branagh?
I like him as an actor, but like here it just looks like he's using every resource possible, and it's like it's gonna be too much.
Especially mustaches.
Yeah,
his mustache is wild.
No, they're ridiculous.
They have a pretty big cast going on at that.
I'm not a Josh Gad guy. I'm really not. I don't find Josh Gad funny.
What?
I don't.
How?
It's easy because he's annoying. That's why.
But so then we have the following weekend we have.
Wait.
Oh, is another
another
indie that we're missing?
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh my god. So that is a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. Title.
I actually did pop that up on my screen.
Same director as In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths.
Someone was doing a funny review of In Bruges.
I love In Bruges. I love Seven Psychopaths. I'm really excited about this one.
Oh, this is the Frances McDormand movie. Oh, yeah. This is going to get praise for her performance, I think.
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Martin McDonagh.
And Woody Harrelson. This has been a big year for Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With, should be Oscar buzz for what he did in War for the Planet of the Apes. Probably won't be.
No. Mm-hmm.
Peter Dinklage and Sam Rockwell.
I got to see this.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this.
We'll try to find a screening for it if we can. So hard because we are in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. all right. Next weekend we have Wonder. That looks cute. Is that one about that kid who, with the misshapen face?
Yeah. I don't think I could watch that.
Why?
It would just be too powerful for me. You know what I mean? Too emotional.
All right.
The whole thing will be sad.
Alex will probably fall on the sword for that one.
I'll check that out.
And then the same week, the movie that we're all going to talk about, Justice League.
Yes.
I'm excited for this.
Oh, me too.
I'm like really excited.
Aquaman looks awesome.
I think this movie's going to be good. I think it's going to be really good.
I think it'll be fun. As long as Superman gets in there a little bit.
I mean, you already see him in the trailer.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, you see a back of somebody.
What if we were all wrong and that's Green Lantern? Like, imagine how crazy that would be. It's like, what? That was Green Lantern the whole time?
A twist.
That'd be cool. I wonder who they'd cast.
Yeah, after Wonder Woman, DC's got
Wonder Woman's awesome.
A little bit of trust. So.
And everything I've seen, all these trailers have been really good. They always had a good beat to them, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Aquaman. There's that scene where he falls through the building, like grabs on one to the parademons, and then crashes into a building, and then slides out in the parademons' back. I'm like, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie's like what, 3 hours long?
It's long.
Which I'm all about a 3 hour long Justice League movie, and I want to see the Snyder cut of it. That's like 4 hours long. Justice League Ultimate Edition, 5 hours of pure Justice League.
Oh, you know it's coming.
Of course. All right. Going into the 24th, weekend of the 24th, we have...
Wait, there was...
No, boy, another one?
That not actually a super indie movie, but Coco?
That's in the 24th.
I have it as the 22nd.
Oh, it's probably... That's Thanksgiving week. I bumped everything to Friday no matter what.
Sure.
Yeah, Coco. Pixar.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be excited. That's gonna be a big one.
There's going to be a lot of music in it.
And like real Pixar, not... Cars 3.
Pixar. I liked Cars 3. Errol's going to get mad at you.
No, I haven't seen Cars 3 yet, but just from like what I've heard that it's not... I've heard that it's not like at the standard of like Wall-E, Ratatouille.
But in terms of Pixar sequels, it's the best Pixar sequel. Not a Toy Story movie.
I should check it out sometime. I shouldn't criticize it if I haven't
seen it. It's much better than Pixar, than Cars 2. It's so much better than Finding Dory. It's so much better than Monsters University.
Okay.
But it's also not as good as any other Pixar
movies. It's like the original when you think of Pixar.
Yeah. But like Errol will get mad at you. He's a big Pixar. He's a big Pixar fan.
I love Pixar, but I also am willing to admit that they made a couple bad movies.
I'm not a Finding Dory fan. I really didn't like Finding Dory, and Finding Dory is like one. It's very, very high.
Have either of you seen The Good Dinosaur?
No.
No.
Does that even count?
Yeah, it does. Brave. Pixar's had a few flops lately. Yeah. Not flops, but like not
just
so good.
Not Pixar standard.
I miss Wall-E. Wall-E's the forgotten movie for me.
I still think the best Pixar movie was Inside Out.
I don't.
I love Inside Out.
For me, it's Toy Story and then like, you know, Monsters Inc.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love everything Pixar's done.
I'd take Wall-E over Up, personally.
Yeah, Up's...
I would too.
Up's got a really good opening and then it kind of goes downhill after that.
Yeah.
It's got a really, really good hook. Like a really good hook.
Is Coco a musical?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that Pixar's first musical? I think so.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I think it is.
That should be interesting.
That'll be cool. It's set a really cool time. I've been staying away from trailers for it.
Same. I haven't seen any. I've just seen the poster right now. That's all I'm going off of.
I don't know. This might be a Netflix release, but Death Wish comes out that weekend, too.
That's the Bruce Willis remake.
That looks bad.
It looks like it's actually a good time for me. Like,
is that a Matt Peters movie?
No. It's like a B action movie, so probably. But he just goes around like an inner city killing bad guys. But like, there's a lot of like race tones here because it's like this white old dude just killing a bunch of minorities. it's a little bad, but it's Bruce Willis, so I'll give it a pass.
Oh, this movie got pushed, so this is gonna go down a bit.
And then the same weekend, there's Darkest Hour, which is the Gary Oldman is playing Winston Churchill.
Oh,
during World War II,
mm-hmm.
And he looks nothing like Gary Oldman, or sounds nothing like Gary Oldman. So he'll get some Oscar praise for that. So, but it just doesn't look too appealing to me personally.
We have Molly's Game that same weekend as well.
Hmm.
That's Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba. It's when Jessica Chastain's like that high rolling gambling table runner. She makes tons of money. It's weird because she has brunette hair in it, and I'm like, I don't like that. She needs to be a redhead in every movie. Just like. Like, there's so many specific movie redheads, like Jessica Chastain and
Emma Stone.
I think Emma Stone doesn't.
She's been going blonde recently.
Yeah, but like Amy Adams. You'd feel weird if Amy Adams wasn't like a redhead in a movie. It'd just be a little off-putting. Like Bryce Dallas Howard does it occasionally, and just is like, I don't like that. But and then Idris Elba, Oh, wait. Molly's Game is directed by Aaron Sorkin. That changes everything. Aaron Sorkin... Wait, does Aaron Sorkin direct usually? He's usually a writer, isn't he?
Yeah.
What is he... Has he direct... This is his first... This is directorial debut for Aaron Sorkin. Wait, that's really cool.
He wrote... I think he knows what he's doing. Network, didn't he?
Yeah, he's... Okay. He's written
the best screenplays.
He wrote Steve Jobs.
Moneyball.
He's writing a TV movie version of A Few Good Men.
Okay.
Which seems interesting.
There's a great looking indie that week. Do you have something, Alex?
I don't. Do you have...
Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
Starring Armie Hammer.
It
is getting a lot of praise. It's like this family in France with like a 17-year-old girl.
Oh my god, yes. I heard about this one. This is like...
Like the reviews, like... There's positive reviews, and then there's a classic review, and this one is getting like classic emotional depth reviews.
Well, I had I cried in the trailer for this movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I truly cannot wait for this.
Timothée Chalamet. He's been in some stuff. He's in the next Woody Allen movie.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. Well, he was in Love the Coopers, Lady Bird. Lady Bird, we missed that. That was supposed to come out. That comes out on November 10th. We'll see that. I forgot to put that on my list. That was Saoirse Ronan, who I think is really good. And that one seems cool. She plays like a angry teen or something like that. I don't know. It's much more detailed than that.
Mm-hmm.
This has been popping up in my crossword puzzles a lot lately. It's Greta Gerwig, who sounds... her name sounds very familiar. She did some... She directed something that I know well. Give me a sec. She did Jackie.
Nice.
Who, I never saw that. Come on, there's something I've seen direct.
Are we going to stop there?
Nah. Well, let's go into December.
Going into December, okay.
We won't be here for December. So might as well do that. All right. 12-1, we have... The Disaster Artist.
This trailer looks amazing.
Did you see just the teaser one, or did you see the new
full
trailer?
No, I saw the new one.
Alex, this is the teaser trailer is one you can watch.
Okay.
Teaser trailer
shows nothing. It's like a little clip.
The teaser is like, you've seen The Room, right?
Yes.
This is literally about the making of The Room.
Oh my god. Okay.
And the teaser trailer.
Oh my god.
The teaser trailer is hysterical.
I'm sold.
This looks like nothing I've ever seen before, this movie, because the cast is all friends.
It's just
James Franco and his brother and Seth Rogen. Just
Zac Efron
doing crazy things.
Is Zac Efron in it?
Yeah, Zac Efron's in it.
Yeah, he's gonna have a little
John
part.
John Hutcherson.
It looks so funny.
Sold. I'm watching this.
I am such a big fan of The Room. I've been obsessed with The Room since like sophomore year of high school.
Yes.
It's just so fun to just watch clips of horrible acting. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, I love the story they came up with.
Like, I did not hit her. We can't say the rest of it because we'll get taken off air.
I did not.
Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. I hit her. No, do you want to change the line? I've seen that trailer too many times. Kristen Bell's in it. Wow. All right. In the same weekend, we have Polaroid. A horror movie that just looks bad. If you get a photo taken to you of the Polaroid, you die.
Oh.
It sounds so gimmicky.
I saw this trailer.
That just looks so bad.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Give us some more interesting stuff. I mean, my friends from my internship this summer will know of a very famous, not famous, very funny, bad horror movie that's coming out in the near future that I can't talk about on air. But they'll know what I'm talking about. It's a very specific movie script that very Polaroid reminds me of. He's Out There, 12-1. I'm not sure what this movie is. I didn't look it up beforehand.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good job, me. What? Not being prepared for stuff.
I don't think it's a big movie.
When you just want to get, you want to get to the one that we're all going to talk about. He's Out There is, there's so little data on this that's probably not coming out till later.
Okay.
12-8, we have Money World,
which All the Money in the World, which is a Ridley Scott film.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
That man.
He's directing.
Just.
He's been missed.
So prolific. Like, he puts out, like, 3 movies a year, I feel like.
But he also doesn't.
He hasn't made
I really liked. Yeah. I really liked Alien Covenant, but I can see why people didn't like Alien Covenant.
When you're making 3 movies a year.
Yeah.
When you just, like, open up the guy's IMDb page, and the first 4 things that pop up are Blade Runner, Alien, The Martian, and Prometheus. And you're like, wow. Man, that guy's had a great career.
And
even
then
though he is.
Yeah, but those are also all sci-fi. 80, this one's not sci-fi at all. It's
then you see
historical drama.
What's the one? What was the Egypt like
Gods
Egypt,
of Egypt?
Not Gods of Egypt. Oh no, Exodus, no. Gods and Kings.
Yeah,
I was so hyped for that. The first trailer, I was like Christian Bale in a war epic, but
Christian Bale playing an Egyptian. Whitewashing? What?
Where's Christian Bale been lately? I want to know that. Maybe he's gaining weight.
The Russell Crowe Robin Hood, maybe.
Oh, dang. Yeah, Christian Bale is looking big.
But okay, then also Gladiator was an incredible movie.
Gladiator.
Black Hawk Down.
Yep.
Like
American Gangster, I still love.
Yeah, Christian Bale gained a lot of weight.
What?
Whoa, that doesn't even look like him.
So.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I just pulled up a picture, but.
One more December 8th. I don't know if you have more. I have one.
Throw me another December 8th.
I don't know if this is... I don't know if this is like the actual release date. This is what Google's telling me, but I think it's already out in some theaters. The Shape of Water.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
It premiered at Sundance, and it got a standing ovation for like 8 minutes.
Oh, give me some
Google's
more of
telling
him.
Me December 8th for
the
official
Guillermo
release
Guillermo del Toro.
Date.
I love me some Guillermo.
And this is, like, people are saying this is most, like, emotional movie.
Good. Because, and it looks like, awesome.
It's all weird in a perfect way.
It's definitely not for everyone, but...
I just want another. I want him to be more Oscar nominated. He's one of the best directors working.
Yeah, this is getting Oscar buzz.
One of the most creative directors working.
The performances in this are supposed to be good as well.
Okay, then we have on December 15th, we have Ferdinand.
Yeah.
This is a very Josh Nolan movie.
This is. I don't know what Ferdinand is, but apparently it's a thing that's been around a long time.
I feel like this is a very.
Oh, I read that
book. The Bull.
Yeah, I like that book.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It doesn't want to be a fighting bull. This looks so bad, and it's going to get blown out of the water by Star Wars The Last Jedi. Man, I'm surprised that there's only been one trailer for this.
Yeah, another one's going to come out soon, but...
I mean, then think about it. Didn't the Force Awakens like full trailer didn't come out till...
Yeah, I had the teaser like a year ahead, and then the full one
they had,
like 5 months after.
They had the first teaser, and then they had the second teaser, which is when our Last Jedi teaser came.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get something here, which will be interesting.
We'll see.
I don't know.
I'm so excited for this. I mean, same director. I don't know if you knew this. Same guy who did Ozymandias, the episode in Breaking Bad. Do you not watch Breaking Bad?
I've only seen two
episodes. Is that the final season?
It was season 5, episode 14. My favorite, by far, I think the best episode of Breaking Bad.
He is, I mean, Rian Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Rian Johnson is a great, he's a good actor. He did a Looper, right?
Yep.
That's good. All right, let's round this out, because there's actually something I want to talk about with Star Wars related news. Ferdinand, so Jumanji 2 is in the following week. I'm excited for this.
I don't think it looks good.
The trailer was great.
It's just all the actors just quipping.
Yeah.
Because they're all awesome.
So it's a Marvel movie.
I don't like it.
A Marvel movie is just quips. We have the $6 Billion Man. I don't know enough about this movie yet, but I've probably not. Sounds like the not Bicentennial Man.
And we also have Downsizing.
Oh boy! All right, let's talk some Downsizing.
Dude,
I don't know about this.
This looks kind of weird.
It looks so stupid.
I was talking to somebody, and they just said that the trailer for Downsizing made them so uncomfortable after watching it.
I really didn't.
I forget who I was talking about, but he's like, "Yeah, that trailer just made me really uncomfortable."
Uncomfortable.
Which I can see why. It's really weird. Like, it's really weird.
It looks like a really bad episode of, like, The Twilight Zone or, like, Black Mirror.
But, like, comedic about it?
But not in a good way. The jokes were just
It looks like we bought a awkward zoo or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, something so lame.
Oh, I hope that Kimmel does something funny with this. Just, it's so weird. Matt Damon and Christoph Waltz.
Christoph.
This is a comedy, drama, sci-fi. It's Alexander Payne who's done The Descendants, which is a very good movie. Wow, I'm not on my best today right now. I'm tired.
And then Pitch Perfect 3 also comes out.
Oh my god.
I haven't seen one of them.
I've seen 1 and 2.
I've seen 1.
This just looks like beating a dead horse.
I really liked the first Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, the first Pitch Perfect is great. And the second one goes so far into the future that it feels like they can't do a third one, but they're doing a third one. And this is outside of college. They've already graduated, which doesn't seem like it's going to work. All right, Current War, which I'm not sure what that's about. All right, we're going to jump through these. Bastards, which I'm not sure if we're allowed to say on air, but I just did anyways.
And I'm not cutting
it. And it's the name of a movie. It's like saying Kick-Ass.
Like saying Jackass.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you could say, but I did.
We can say Ass. But it's the name of a movie. We're not, like, swearing. Enjoy that. I don't even know, is this movie coming out? Because I can't find anything. Oh, its name got changed, of course. Now it's called Father Figures. Starring Owen Wilson and Glenn Close.
And Ed Helms.
J.K. Simmons.
Right in their primes.
Yeah, of course. Father Figures. This just doesn't, I don't know. Isn't this supposed to come out a while ago, and then they changed the name of it, and then
from the director of The Hangover and War Dogs.
Yeah. I don't know. That does seem interesting to me. The movie that seems much more interesting to me comes out the following week, and that's The Greatest Showman on Earth. It's the biopic about the Ringling Bros.
Hmm.
Okay.
That looks, and it's got our man Wolverine in it.
Yeah, of course he plays another magician or whatever, something like magician.
He's either playing poor people, Wolverine. Or a magician.
Zac Efron's in it too.
Sorry, not the Ringling Brothers. P.T. Barnum. Oh, it's a musical.
Yeah,
really.
That's why Zac Efron and Hugh Jackman, they both can sing. Because I was like, Zac Efron in a drama, but if it's a musical, it'll make more sense.
Yeah, this looks cool.
And then Paul Thomas Anderson's gonna have an untitled film.
Oh, when's that?
That's supposed to come out like the 27th of December, but we don't know too much about it yet.
I hope it's better than Inherent Vice. I wasn't that big on Inherent Vice.
I liked it, but it wasn't his best work.
Yeah, especially, I mean, like, I'm a big Magnolia fan.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got 10 minutes left. We got 12 minutes left. I want to spend this next 2 minutes talking about, Colin Trevorrow was dropped from Star Wars Episode 9, and they've replaced him now with J.J. Abrams again.
Yes. Episode 9, The Return of Abrams.
I'm not that big fan of that. I thought that this isn't the best call for JJ. I think that he could have done some, like, they could have chosen somebody better. Steven Spielberg. I know that sounds dumb, but, like,
no.
I mean, just think of that. A world where Steven Spielberg directed a Star Wars movie.
I don't want that world.
Just like JJ Abrams.
That's like George Lucas, man. George Lucas and Spielberg are like.
But like J.J. Abrams direct like this. The first one made sense because Abrams is great at that, like starting rebooting a universe.
Yeah.
But and then they're going dark with Rian Johnson, and Colin Trevorrow for nine made sense because he's. Because 9 is going to be that spectacle, the end spectacle. And that made sense because that's literally what Jurassic World was. It was spectacle.
Dude, this is honestly just going to be Disney's project. I think the director is there just to make everyone come together. But
directed by Kathleen Kennedy.
Honestly, though.
But hasn't Abrams been a part of the team that like has been spearheading
these? He's like the Jon Favreau of the Star Wars
world. Yeah, so it doesn't... it's not. It just felt very safe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not hating on it. I think it's a lot better than most directors, and it's definitely not going to be bad.
I just think wish. You know, I mean,
it's safe.
I keep saying like I wish Disney would take some risks for their Star Wars directors, but then again, every time they do take a risk, they end up firing said risk later on. They've fired every single person who's done one of the anthology films.
They just want $1 billion and then be like, all right.
And J.J. Abrams is going to give it.
What?
J.J. Abrams is going to deliver.
He's producing. He's been producing all of them. All right, well, it's that time of the show where we start wrapping up. So, Matt has his favorite segment of the week.
Yes, the box office numbers.
All right, let's see how well it did in its second weekend.
It, in its second week, grossed $60 million, which is a great, great number for week two.
It did drop 50%, though, right?
Yes, but that is not that steep. It's steep, but not that steep. So... its total is now up to $218.7 million just domestically alone.
Oh, my God. It's on
a budget of $35 million.
What's it abroad?
It's abroad numbers.
Give me a sec. So our guy Josh Nolan can see it then.
I see $371 million.
Abroad?
According to Forbes, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Worldwide is $371.
How's it doing?
So foreign is $152.
How's it doing in comparison to like other stuff, Deadpool, stuff like that?
I mean, it's gonna break the September record by far.
Oh my God! In 2 weeks,
horror R-rated. It's already at number two. All
time. What's number one? Well, that's different because number one's The Exorcist, right?
No, I think number one's Paranormal Activity 3.
So it's not going to, it won't be the highest grossing horror movie because if you adjust for inflation, The Exorcist made $900 million. Yeah. Like, that's so much. Wow. And I mean, I love it, but it's not going to do that.
No.
Like, it'll get decently close, but like, that's a pretty hard, that 50% drop off is still pretty hard. I think this next week's going to be interesting because it's going up against Kingsman.
Yeah,
which is going to be and Lego Ninjago. I mean, it's not Lego Ninjago.
Those are three different audiences too.
I think Kingsman and its audience
are
pretty similar.
They have some overlap,
sure. But I think that's going to be very interesting to see that one because if it drops another 50, that might show some warning signs going into October.
Yeah,
I think it'll be
any way you look at it. This is a huge success.
Yeah, obviously
huge. And then so $60 million, and then at number two. Is American Assassin.
Okay.
Which beat Mother by a lot. American Assassin made $14.8 million.
Still not that good.
It's not good. It's not a super bomb. This budget was $33 million. But Mother only made $7.5 million.
Ooh.
And I had a $30 million budget. So, yeah, that was not good.
Mother!
Jennifer Lawrence, star power, doesn't seem to be carrying this one. It's not really for her fans' demographic either. It's, like, way too artsy.
Oh yeah, it doesn't. From what it sounds like it's not for anyone's demographic.
Yeah, legit though. It's like I don't know who they're marketing this towards, but and then fourth is Home Again with $5 million. So that's already made its budget up.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty good.
So that's fine. Hitman's Bodyguard is in fifth place with $3.5 million.
That movie is just staying around.
So that's made $70 million. So a minor success.
Yep.
Annabelle Creation is gonna break $100 million.
I like how.
Days.
I mean, I like how that. I like how the it did made Annabelle Creations money in a weekend.
True. And then Wind River is going to break $30 million.
Good. Wind River. That, yeah. Wind River.
What's
needs
the budget on that?
11.
Okay.
So
good.
It's been good.
It really needed that wide release because that's a high budget for an
indie movie like that. Yeah.
But it still didn't. Like I remember last year how fast Hell or High Water took off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it really took off.
And then Dark Tower is about to break 50 mil.
Oh, boy. What was its budget?
60.
Oh, so poor Dark Tower. It'll probably break even. I mean, it did pretty well overseas, though.
Yeah. Emoji Movie's pretty much dead. It only made like a mil.
Thank God, even though they're making a sequel. Sorry, Errol.
Yeah, it's up to 83 million. So, yeah, and Logan Lucky is up to 26.8.
That movie needs to make more money. That movie's great.
Yeah, it has not made a lot. And Glass Castle bombed.
Okay, good.
So, that's pretty much it. I mean, it was very top heavy.
It's very it. It.
That's it.
Yep.
That is. So, we have... what's coming out next week?
Let's see here.
Oh, that's, I mean, that's pretty easy to talk about. Kingsman, Secret Service. Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
I'm so hyped for this.
This looks awesome.
The first one was one of my favorites in high school.
Yeah, that's...
Because I loved action movies and I loved comedies, and then blending it together gave me something awesome.
I hope it's good. I hope Kingsman's good.
I think it'll
be good. Oh, we have Friend Request. That's been sitting on the shelf for so long.
Yep.
I'll probably see it. It's probably going to be bad. We have the Lego Ninjago movie. I'm interested to see how this does.
I'm not.
Of course not. What'd you call it? The Ninjaro?
Ninjaro.
Like, it's the Ninjaro movie. It sounded like my mother.
It might be fun. You know.
All right.
Maybe.
Yeah. So we'll try to get to the theater next week and see some of those. In terms of Blu-ray / on rental this week, we have the big one is Wonder Woman. Finally, we'll get Wonder Woman on Blu-ray, which will be awesome. I'll love to see it. There's a really cool steelbook version of it. We have The Big Sick, which you guys have both seen The Big Sick.
No, right? I haven't. I've been trying.
That's
really good.
That means you'll be able to see it this coming week. Great movie. I think that was my favorite of the summer. We have The Hero, which was a smaller indie picture that I heard was pretty good. We have The Bad Batch, which is that crazy one with Jason Momoa and Jim Carrey and Keanu Reeves.
Really?
Yeah, we should have a movie night and watch that because it seems interesting.
Jim Carrey and Keanu.
Yeah, and Momoa.
The hits of the 90s, man.
In post-apocalypse. And so, yeah, that's it. I'll do a VOD checkup, too, just because we have the time. So, I mean, yeah, that's... I'm very hungry right now. All right, let's wrap the show up for that. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Animatronic Dinosaurs. I'm Ali Rosen, joined by
Matt Peters
and
Alex Holm.
Thank you guys.
Have a good one.